read down to 4, verse 17. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? The Lord said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what you have done, what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go, unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that he will let you go. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. And when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbour, and any woman who lives in our house, for silver and gold jewellery, and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses answered, But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, The Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to Moses, What is that in your hand? Moses said, A staff. And he said, Throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, Put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, Put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made this man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be your mouth, and with his, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff, with which you shall do the signs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Fantastic. Well, let's do that right now. Let's pray to God and ask him to help us and the children in our time together. Let's pray. Hands together, close your eyes. Father God, thank you that you are the God who loves us, who does care. You are kind. We know that because you have spoken and given us your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. So we pray that we would trust you today. As we listen to your voice, would you prepare our hearts? Would you help the children and get them ready to hear your word as they go out and look at it together? Would they have lots of fun and enjoy learning about you? And we pray for George as he comes to speak to us. Would you fill him with your spirit? Would you give him every word that he needs to speak? Would he be like Aaron, who has the words of you put in his mouth? And would he speak them boldly to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Chat to the person next to you. We're just going to get a few things together. Children can go out to their groups. Introduce yourself to the person next to you.
Emma, thank you. So my name is George. I'm one of the leading, part of the leading team in Backcountry Church. I've been here for probably 10 years now. Didn't always want to stand at the front. Was always very nervous. If I was told to stand at the front, I would get faintish. I would get butterflies. I would have a runny tummy. It would be horrible. Okay? And somehow, I've ended up standing in front of you. And as we go through this passage, chapter 3 and chapter 4, you'll understand why it is not normal for me to be here. We've been going through the book of Exodus. We went through chapter 2 last week, and today we're in chapter 3. I'll kind of give you a few flashbacks of what happened, and then we see if we can catch up. But if I was to start off with a question, have you ever felt inadequate? Ever felt inadequate? Never. We got the first liar in the house. You have, obviously, because you must have been told to do something that you felt unqualified for. Or you felt it was too big for you, too important for you. Maybe you don't have the knowledge for it. You don't have the skill for it. And you feel like an imposter. You feel like they're going to find me out very soon. Okay. Now, something like that happened to this guy called Moses. He was called to do something that was too great for him. God required something great from him. And he felt like he cannot do it. He said, I can't do it. I can't possibly do it. And through chapter 3 and a bit of chapter 4, we have seen three things in this encounter. One is that God hears and sees. Another one, God calls and sends. And lastly, God fulfills and rescues. And God fulfills his rescue plans. So we look at the first one. God hears and sees. Now, there are a couple of things we struggle with. I struggle with it. Why would this big God bother about tiny me? Why would this lion bother with this earthworm who's trying to do press-ups? Why would he do that? I don't get it. Okay. And sometimes these kinds of thoughts overwhelm us. And we have this group of people who have been in slavery for 400 years. 400 years. I mean, they've been forgotten. I mean, if they were there for 40 years, we would forget about them. 400 years is a long time. So it's almost as if everyone has forgotten them. And then somehow God shows up for them. God shows up for them. And if we read in our chapter 3, just look down in verse 7. Look down in verse 7, 7 and 8. It says, "The Lord then said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I have seen, I have heard, I am concerned, therefore I have come." That is such reassuring, isn't it? That God would see, God would hear, and God would be concerned, and that he would come. This big, majestic, awesome God. And it's repeated in verse 9. If you look down in verse 9, it says, "And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me." In other words, it's heard. "And I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." And if you go back to, go on to verse 16, it says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel and together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up and out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. I have observed, I have seen, and I have promised to come down and to bring you out and into a land." Does this sound to you like a God who doesn't care? Does this sound to you like a distant God? Does this sound to you like an impersonal God? It sounds to me like the God of the Bible is one who hears and sees the suffering of his people. I mean, it sounds to me like this is a God who has a plan to rescue his people. He cares for his people. And in this part of the Bible, he's going to send someone. The guy is called Moses. Even his name, Moshe, means fished out. The guy was fished out from the Nile. You know, he was rescued himself. He was rescued. Just as a reminder to us of when God started rescuing his people. This is something that God planned. That brings us to our second point, which is God calls and sends. So Moses grows up in the palace, in Pharaoh's palace. You know, his life is looking up. You know, he has a promising future. Maybe the future king, you never know, right? And when he reaches 40 years old, he messes it all up. 40 years old, yeah? We call it midlife crisis, don't we, here? He messes it all up. He goes ahead and kills a citizen, all because of a slave. He chooses to kill a citizen because of a slave. And now he has to run away because the king is looking for him. So he becomes a fugitive, runs off. And in chapter 2, we saw how he ran off to this land met this lady called Zippy, married her, had children with her, and now he is looking after the father-in-law's sheep. So Moses ends up on the backside of the Midian desert, the guy who had a bright future. He has resigned his life to being a shepherd, the lowest of professions you can have. The lowest. And he's doing that now. Now, by all accounts, this is a life of a failure. For the next 40 years, that's what he does. 40 years, he's looking after sheep. 40 years in the sweltering desert. 40 years with that hot sun over his head. 40 years with that dry wind in his face. 40 years with that hot sand on his feet. 40 years with nothing else apart from looking after sheep. 40 years of passing these dry bushes. Some of them sparkle. Some of them become alight. But they sparkle and fizzle away. Probably the most exciting things that's happening in this desert. 40 years. He's now 80. 80 years old. And he's walking past this bush. And this bush is not a sparkling one. It's not just fizzling away. This bush is burning. It's a smoldering bush. It's not being consumed. So Moses wants to go and have a look. Look at verse 3. Look at what he's saying. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. So Moses approaches the bush. And God uses the bush as a PA system to announce his rescue plan to Moses. Moses, Moses. Moses says, yeah, here I am. I'm thinking, if you've been running away all your life and you've been a fugitive for 40 years and someone calls you from behind the bush and calls you by the name, you're probably going, oh my gosh, they found me. He found me. So God tells him, remove your shoes. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Moses covers his face. He said, oh, that's it. I'm dead. But look at what verse 7 to 10 is saying. God is giving Moses the blueprint, the rescue blueprint. This is how I'm going to rescue my people. Look at that from verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Moses is probably going, yep, 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 you go for it, you know. Yep, yep. And God says, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out to the land to a good land, a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses probably going, yep, yep, milk and honey, yep, yep, got that, yep, go for it. You know, good for them. To the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Yep, 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 Perizzites, yep, Hivites, yep, Jebusites, yep, Termites, yep. I don't know those geezers, don't know them. That doesn't mean anything to me. Verse 9, and now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you. Huh? What? Me? This is a joke, right? Me? Send me? What have I got to do with this? I mean, is he talking about me? Is God calling me? Have you not read my CV yet? Don't you know what I've done? So when God calls you and says, I want to talk to you, I want to rescue you, what are you thinking at that point? Are you thinking, oh yeah, you're having a good deal, this is a good deal? Or are you thinking, you don't know what I'm like, this is a bad deal? Me? Do you know what I've done? I will be bad for you. I will do you no good. And we can identify with what Moses is saying. And this is why I said at the beginning, I never wanted to stand here to teach the Bible. Never. 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 I was in the parents' church, the Dagenham Parish Church, and I was asked to lead the service one day. And I almost passed out. You know, I didn't like it. Later on, the minister there came and told me that I should go to Bible school and become a Bible teacher. Me? Bible teacher? No! No! And then my wife there, Catherine, says, you know Mike is right, yeah? I said, well, whose side are you on? You should be supporting me. And I resisted for 5 years. She used to call me Jonah. I resisted for five years. And in the end, I went to Cornhill and studied to become a Bible teacher. That's how come I'm standing here. I'm Mr. Nobody from Nyamasaria in Kenya. I have absolutely sure you have no idea where that is. Obscure place. God calls me to stand and teach his word. I said no. But it's not me who's going to do the job. It's God who's going to do the job. Amen? So Moses in verse 11 is saying, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? And then God tells him in verse 12, I love this. I will be with you. Isn't that great? I will be with you. You will not be on your own. I will be with you. Well, thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, God, with us. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you don't leave us on our own. So God asks of Moses something great. But Moses, like all of us, has a few concerns. Just a few. Just a couple. A couple of concerns. Hang on a minute. Lord, this is verse 13, yeah? Lord, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, Moses is saying, I don't know you. What shall I say? I don't know you. And verse 14. Look at verse 14. What does God say there? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to these people that I am has sent you. I am who I am. And if you read the original also says something to the effect that I was who I was. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. It's almost like the eternal God. I was there at the beginning, I'm now, and I will be forever. This is where we get the name Yahweh from, or Jehovah from. Okay? The incomparable God, there is none like me, so I am just like me. Incomparable, indescribable, awesome God. Amen? So God says, go and tell them. That's the one. I am the one. Moses in chapter 4, verse 1 says, they will not believe me. Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. I don't think they will believe me. That's what Moses is saying. I don't think they will. This is a hindrance to us whenever we think of going to share the gospel. We're always asking ourselves, are they going to believe me? And we get put off. We get put off. They will not believe me. I will be wasting my time. I'll be talking and they'll not be listening. They will not believe me. It puts us off. But God reassures Moses in verse 2 to 7. He shows Moses that he will do amazing things through Moses. I will do amazing things through you. So God does a couple of miracles. Moses has a staff. God tells him, could you throw it down? He throws it down. It becomes a snake. Moses takes off. God tells him, come back, Moses. You forgot your staff. So it's not my staff. It's a snake. Okay, God tells him, no. You grab the snake by the tail. Dear God, around here, we don't grab snakes by the tail. We grab them by the head. Okay, we don't do that. So no. You grab it by the tail. Okay, he grabs it by the tail. It becomes a staff. Then he tells Moses, what's that? Your hand? Yeah, put your hand inside your cloak. It becomes white, leprous white. Okay, put it back, goes back. Okay. Says, you go do those things. And if they don't believe you, take some water from the Nile, pour it down, it'll turn red like blood. So Moses has seen God's power face to face, firsthand. And God is going to do a couple of stuff as well. And God is going to tell him, I'm sending you. It's not going to be easy. We've read that bit. It's not going to be easy. Pharaoh is going to resist you. He's going to resist you. Okay? So I know what you're up against. But I will be with you. And I will work these marvelous things through your hands. What a great God. What a great God. And you'd think Moses is convinced. You'd think so. But Moses is not. He's not. So verse 10 of chapter 4. But Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Moses has just developed a stutter all of a sudden. Yes? Yeah? Moses has suddenly developed a stutter. Now he's remembered he can't speak. Moses can't speak. Moses can no longer speak. And God is going, oh, no. I didn't know. Really? Angel Gabriel, did you know Moses can't speak clearly? No, I didn't. I think I'm going to ask Jesus. All right, you go and ask Jesus. Jesus, did you know that Moses can't speak clearly? No way. I didn't know. No. Oh, did you know that Eddie can't speak in public? No way. He can't. Did you know that Ruth can't memorize scripture? No. I didn't know. Did you know that so-and-so can't do such and such? Did you know so-and-so has a disability? What? They're disabled? No way. You think Jesus is going like that? No way. Jesus knows. He knows your ability and your disability. He knows what you can do and cannot do. And yet, he calls you. He calls you. Because this rescue mission doesn't depend on your ability or your disability. It depends on his ability. Praise God. It depends on what he can do, not what you can or cannot do. So he tells Moses, I'm the one who made your mouth. I'm the one who made everything. I'm going to give you a helper. I'll give you a brother, Aaron. I'll give you a helper. And so God gives Moses a helper. Did he give him a helper? What did he say? No, he said, he says in verse 12, he says, no, I will put words in your mouth. I will teach you what to say. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this gospel is not ours. We are not inventing the gospel. The gospel has been given us. We are just to say what Jesus says. Thus says the Lord. Finished. This is what Jesus has said. Finished. We are not inventing the gospel. The Lord is going to put in our mouth what to say. What am I going to share at the door when I knock, when we go door knocking? What am I going to say? I will put the words in your mouth. So Moses finally comes up with the trump card. This is the maximum one, the classic one. He says, oh, verse 13, oh Lord, send someone else. That's a classic one. Oh Lord, send someone else. Easy. Send someone else. I can't do it. I can't do it. Send someone else. I can't preach. Yeah? Send Rob. Yeah, you send Rob. I can't sing. You send some. I can't do it. Okay, send so-and-so. I can't. And God says, no, I will send you a helper. I will send you a helper. I will send you someone to help you. And God gracefully sends Aaron. That is in verse 14 to 16. Let's read verse 14 to 16. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and he sees you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people and his mouth, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as a God to him. God is gracious. I will send you a helper. And we see that with Jesus as well, with Jesus and his disciples, isn't it? Okay, he's got this bunch of guys who keep falling over themselves in competing amongst themselves, in messing up. And he is helping them constantly. And he's telling them, when I go, I will not leave you on your own. I will send you a helper. I will send you a helper. I will send you a helper. And he does that in Matthew 28. Verse 18, he says, and Jesus came to them all and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Now this, brothers and sisters, imagine it's just 11 guys and Jesus is telling them, go into the whole world, okay? I want disciples from the whole world, okay? By the way, this is an era where there were no mobile phones, okay? So you can't text 800,000 people at the same time, okay? You understand? There are no planes you can fly and jet over, okay? You tell them, go and the whole world, evangelize the whole world, okay? Go and tell them about me. Go and make the name of God great in all the world. Go and tell them about this rescue plan that God has. What do you think they are feeling at this point? Me? How's it going to work? Okay? But have a look. Look now. 3 billion people. 3 billion people are Christians now. From this 11. Praise the Lord. That is great news. So he says to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. I am with you always. How is Jesus with us right now? through his Holy Spirit. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's next to us. You may have cracked it by now that it is God who is fulfilling his plan. It's God who is fulfilling his plan. So if you read what the Bible says in chapter 3, you will have noticed in verse 7 and 12 and 17, you'll have noticed God saying, I have surely seen the affliction of my people and have heard their cries. I know their sufferings. I have come down. And God says, I will be with you. And I promise that I will bring you out of affliction in Egypt. Who is doing the rescuing job? Is it Moses? Is it Moses? Who is doing the heavy lifting? It's God. It's God. It's God. It's not this frightened old fugitive. It's definitely not this nobody from the village of Nyamasaria. It's definitely not this small church full of weak-looking people. These are not people who are going to save the entire Bacon Tree estate. It's not you. It's Christ in you doing the work of God. Amen? The minute you think that you are able to do this gospel work like clockwork, okay, is the minute you get it wrong. It's a very funny thing. It's a very odd sort of thing. Imagine going for an interview, okay, where if your CV is 80 pages long with PhDs and stuff, they get ripped up and chucked in the bin. You get chucked in the bin. If you come with no CV, because you're so ashamed of it, you know, no CV, ashamed of it, you're like, okay, you're the candidate. You are the messed up, okay, you're the candidate. Weak, yeah, you're the candidate. No confidence, yeah, yeah, you're the candidate. Disability, yeah, yeah, you're the candidate. Can't talk well, yeah, you're the candidate. Imagine that, going for that interview. And then God says, now I'm calling you. And you're thinking, how is this going to happen? No, 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 no. God's rescue plan is fulfilled by God himself. It doesn't depend on you. God is confident in who he is. That's why he calls us. And it's an act of grace. It's a massive act of grace. Finally, let's look at chapter 4, verse 29, right at the end. Right at the end. I would like us to read this together, the verse 29. Verse 29, verse 30, and verse 31. I would like us to read that together. It's on page 47. Is it 47 or 48? 47 at the bottom, yeah, bottom right. So we will read 29, 30, and 31. Let's read it together. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had done their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. The people believed. Remember, Moses was saying the people will not believe. Well, the people believed. God was in the place. They did exactly what God said for them to do, and the people believed. It worked. Praise God, it works. Because if we went to the door and knocked and talked and no one believed for the last 10 years, we'd probably go back to God and say, hey, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on? But we go to the doors, we knock, we talk, and somehow people believe. Out of these ones, people believe? It is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who is doing his work to save. Amen? We cannot do it, but he can. So when we hear that God has seen our burden of sin and slavery to addiction, we can trust him. We can trust his word. When we hear that God has heard our cry for help and sent Jesus to rescue us, we can say yes to his call. We can say yes to his gift of salvation. We can say yes to his call to serve for the gospel. So when we hear his assurance that he will be with us whenever he sends us, we can humble our hearts and we can bow our heads and we can worship. Let us pray. Father, Lord, forgive us for the times when we have looked at our shortcomings. Forgive us for the times when we have thought that we need to qualify for your rescue plan. Forgive us for the times we thought that your rescue plan depends on our capabilities. We want to bow down and worship you. You are the awesome God. You are the incomparable God. You are the great God. You are the one who saw and heard and was concerned and came down to rescue your people. It was you. It wasn't us. We are broken vessels. We are broken vessels. Humble our hearts to give in to your call, that you may use us to make your name great, to make your name known, to make your name exalted in Beacon Tree Estate, in London, in England, and all over the world. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.